Good day to you. This is Kim Harden, and I am reading from the Times Republic, the edition April 16th, 2026. I'll start the story with the headline, Bear Seated on Iroquois County Board, by Carla Waters, the managing editor. Watsika resident Kenneth Bear was appointed to fill the District 4 Iroquois County Board seat. He took the oath of office and was seated at the April 14th meeting. He replaces Scott Watts, who passed away unexpectedly in December. Board Chairman Paul Dussat said that Bear will be filling the seat until the first Monday of December this year. At that time, the seat will be filled by the winner of the November 3rd general election for which Bear can run. Watts's term was to end the first Monday of December 2028, and the winner of the general election will serve until that time. The county board approved Bear's appointment. Dussat appointed Bear to the Planning and Zoning Committee, Policy and Procedures Committee, and the Management Committee. Bear is a professional firefighter and also Watsika fire chief. County Clerk Breen Souver administered the oath of office for Bear, and he was welcomed by fellow board members. Another story by Carla Waters, titled Rural Transportation Discussed by Iroquois County Board. Iroquois County Economic Development Association Executive Director Angel Crawford updated everyone on Futures Connections Rural Transportation. She said in her report, Futures Connections, a nonprofit transportation program established last fall by Pontiac-based Futures Unlimited, Inc., is offering door-to-door transportation services in Iroquois, Ford, and Livingston counties. The service is offered 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, with round-trip rides available for a per-day fee of $2 for exclusively in-county rides and $5 for out-of-county rides. Advanced scheduling is required, she said. Riders are asked to call 844-842-2003 to schedule a ride by noon the day before the ride is needed. Non-medical related trips should be scheduled 24 to 48 hours notice. Medical related trips should be scheduled 72 hours ahead. Children under 14 must be accompanied by an adult. All vehicles are wheelchair accessible. The company is also hiring van and bus drivers. Those interested in applying can do so at futuresunlimited.org. We would like to take a moment to be thankful to our chairman, Paul Dussat, and county board members Donna Crow and Jamie Bacon for helping make rural transportation possible again in Iroquois County, Crawford said. Rural transportation provides a vital link to health care, essential services, jobs for residents, and significantly reduces isolation, allowing for improved quality of life and better access to opportunities within our community, she said. In other action, the board approved appointments John Talbert, Onarga, as Draining Commissioner of Onarga Draining District 2, with a term to expire the first Monday in September of 2027. Joel Davenport of Milford as Trustee of the Sheldon Fire Protection District, with a term to expire on the first Monday of May 2029. Ray Williams of Hoopston to the U of I Co-op Extension Board, with a term to expire on the Sunday before the first Monday of December 2028. James Lumkull of Ashcombe as member of the Iroquois County ETSB, with a term to expire on the last day of December 2028. The board also approved the resignation of Jerry Nims as commissioner of Onarga Drainage District 2. Kim Robb writes a story, Paul Revere Program Planned at the Old Courthouse Museum. On Sunday, April 26th, members of the Iroquois County Historical Society will conduct their annual meeting at 1:30 p.m. in the courtroom of the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry Street, Watsika. The meeting will cover all the past year's events. However, no election will need to take place. Though the museum is generally open the first Sunday of each month, April 26 will be a special day as Terry Lynch will present Paul Revere, Fight for the Right to be Free, After the meeting concludes, he will present his program in the courtroom at approximately 2 p.m. Lynch presented a program on George Washington as the first part of the America 250 program at the museum back on March 1st. This will be his second program, with the third slated for Sunday, November 1st, titled Uncle Sam Wants You to Remember the Women of Independence. For the April 26th program, Lynch, a nationally recognized actor best known for his portrayal of historical figures, will reveal Revere as a man of action over words. Though his skills as a silversmith were widely recognized, his true strength lay in public relations. According to history, Paul Revere could turn any situation into support for the independence movement. This program is geared towards all ages and will prove to be educational as well as entertaining. There is no charge for the program, sponsored by ICHS. However, as ICHS is a nonprofit organization, donations are always appreciated. For more information on ICHS, call the office at 815-432-2215 between the business hours of 10 and 4, Monday through Friday. You can learn more about the program, more about the group, on its Facebook page of Old Courthouse Museum, Watsika, as well as visiting the website www.IroquoisCountyHistoricalSociety.com. You can learn more information by sending an email to ichs221567@yahoo.com. Other upcoming events at the museum include a yard sale slated for Friday, June 5th, 9 to 5, and Saturday, June 6th, 9 to 1. Having a booth set up during the Iroquois County Agricultural and 4-H Club Fair in July, hosting a pork chop sandwich fundraiser from 4 to 6 on Friday, August 7th, and the annual Harvest Days, which will be Friday through Sunday, October 2nd through 4th, on the museum grounds. Watsika Area Food Pantry receives grants. Recent gifts to the Watsika Area Food Pantry from the United Methodist Foundation in Springfield and Carl Health in Urbana will be used to offset the increasing cost of foods purchased from local stores and from Eastern Illinois Food Bank. According to information provided, Kimberly Smith of Carl said, "Thank you for the work you do to strengthen your community. We are honored to support your efforts." The United Methodist Foundation's Reverend Ted Frost wrote, "We will be supporting your ministry. We want to fund those things that would make a difference." In 2025, the Watsika Area Food Pantry served 5,587 people. In the past 5 years, the number of adults served by the food pantry has doubled, while the number of children served has more than tripled. According to Feeding America, a national organization, Iroquois County has experienced the fastest growth in food insecurity of the 21 counties served by the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. The Watsika Area Food Pantry is in its 45th year of being a 100% volunteer-run organization. Approximately 60 to 70 volunteers work on a monthly basis to help with deliveries, stocking shelves, and filling daily food orders. To be eligible for services, people must live in Iroquois County and meet federal income eligibility guidelines. The Watsika Area Food Pantry is located at Watsika First United Methodist Church and receives the benefits of the church's status as a 501c3 charitable organization. Donations may be tax deductible. The food pantry is open daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and may be reached at 815-432-0122. And if you're going to Buckley, April 23rd and 24th, they will be hosting a townwide event. Their garage sales, townwide garage sales, April 23rd and 24th. St. John Ladies Aid LWML of Buckley will have a garage sale on Thursday, April 23rd from 8 to 5, and bake sale garage sale Friday, April 24th from 8 to 5 at the Buckley American Legion, 313 South Walnut Street. There is no sale on Saturday. A Milford farmer is the winner in Asgrow National Soybean Yield Contest. St. Louis. Joe German of Milford was among soybean growers recently recognized as winners of the 2025 AsGrow Brand National Yield Contest. The annual competition is open to all U.S. farmers who plant AsGrow soybean products. According to information from the company, German was one of 72 winners with an impressive yield of 103 bushels per acre with AsGrow X10 Flex product AG33XF3. Brittany Eubank, AsGrow brand manager, expressed appreciation for all farmers who entered the contest with AsGrow products. The AsGrow brand has an unwavering focus on soybeans, innovation in the field, and how we can maximize yield and return on investment for farmers, she said. We congratulate all of the winners for their management skills and thank them for choosing products that deliver superior yield performance potential. Contest winners were recognized during the brand's Yield Winner Banquet held February 24th, during the 2026 Commodity Classic Farm Show in San Antonio, Texas. For a complete list of winners and to learn more about maximizing yield and profit potential with AsGrow products, farmers can visit the AsGrow website or contact their DeKalb AsGrow seed dealer. In the obituaries, Milford is saying goodbye to Kelly Charles Smith, 72, who passed away on Sunday, April 5th, 2026. He appears to have been a big Cubs fan, Green Bay Packers, loved bluegrass, rock and roll, and was affectionately known as Mr. Stereo in that community. Visitation will be on Sunday, April 12th from 2 to 6 at Knapp Funeral Home in Milford, and also 1 hour prior to the funeral service at the church. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, April 13th at the Milford Christian Church in Milford with Reverend Zastro officiating. In memory of Kelly, everyone is asked to wear a Hawaiian shirt. Burial will follow in the Sugar Creek Cemetery near Stockland. Memorials may be given to the Milford Christian Church or Milford Ambulance. Please share a memory at knappfuneralhomes.com. Rihanna Branch of USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service writes, U.S. planting intentions, less corn, more soybeans. U.S. farmers intend to plant 95.3 million acres of corn in 2026, down 3% from last year, and 84.7 million acres of soybeans, up 4% from last year, according to USDA's Prospective Plantings Report, released March 31st. The survey suggested corn acres would be switching to soybeans in the season ahead, as expected, but not to as deep of a degree as had been anticipated coming in, Joe Camp with Comstock Investments told Farm Week. The average trade guesses were for 94.3 million corn acres and 85.5 million soybean acres. All wheat planted area for 2026 is estimated at 43.8 million acres, down 3% from 2025. If realized, it would be the lowest total wheat acreage since 1919. Winter wheat planted area at 32.4 million acres is down 2% from both the previous estimate and from last year. The estimates are based on surveys completed by nearly 74,000 farm operators across the nation during the first 2 weeks of March. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service reported a survey response rate of just 37.6%, down from 44.3% last year. Camp said the natural swing of crop rotation and commodity prices favoring soybeans are big drivers of the acreage shift, but those who do not have inputs locked in could still be swayed as fields are planted. Coming into the report, we were considering the caveats of this season being different because of what's transpired over the last month, Camp said. The changes since the survey period are most particularly tied to what's going on in the Middle East and its ramifications for the energy market, which link back to fertilizer costs and how those go into the decision-making. Illinois farmers intend to plant 10.9 million acres of corn this season, down 3% from last year, and 10.5 million acres of soybeans, up 2%. USDA also released its quarterly grain stocks report. Corn stocks totaled 9.02 billion bushels, up 11% from the same time last year, and slightly below trade expectations. Kemp said it is interesting to think about how much stocks are up relative to usage in the previous quarter. Corn stocks are up 11% from a year ago. That is taken into context with last year being a record 17-plus billion bushel crop that was 14% bigger than the previous season. So you can have some suggestion about the relative strength of usage here from this last corn crop, Kemp said. On-farm corn stocks were up 21% from a year ago, while off-farm stocks were down 2%. The ratios of off-farm to on-farm stand out, he said. If corn is largely held on-farm, it's possible that it's largely still owned by the farmer. That's a lot of crop, relatively speaking, that is still left to take to the market. So we think about how that can come into play going forward. Soybeans stored as of March 1st totaled 2.10 billion bushels, up from 10% from the same time last year. On-farm soybeans stocks were up 3% from a year ago, while off-farm stocks were up 16%. Wheat stored in all positions totaled 1.3 billion bushels, up from 5% a year ago. On-farm, all wheat stocks were down 3% from last year, while off-farm stocks were up 8%. Initial market reaction to the reports was positive for the soybeans and slightly negative for corn, but Kemp said there weren't any standout bullish numbers. I think it leaves the market possibly vulnerable going forward to then getting right back to what's going on in outside markets and the volatility that we have in the financial spaces and across the broader commodity because of the geopolitical uncertainties and everything else that's going on, he said. Implications from the war remain a sticking point in his long-term market outlook. We're set up for this spring being more of a war market, potentially, than it is so often a weather market. This big report is now in the rear view, and it's back to trading some very big-ticketed items in terms of broader market impacts that we could continue to see with the latest volatility in equities, interest rates, currencies, and metals and oil, Kemp said. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and the Illinois Press Association. For more food and farming news, visit farmweeknow.com. Carla Waters writes that, according to Kentland fire officials, a fire destroys more than half of the Good Table family restaurant. Owner says he will rebuild. The owners of a popular Kentland restaurant, heavily damaged by fire, are vowing to rebuild. Firefighters from around the area responded to a fire at the Good Table family restaurant the evening of April 11th. Kentland Jefferson Township Fire Department officials said in a social media post, the fire originated in the kitchen while the business was open. All employees and customers were able to exit the building safely. Upon our arrival, the fire had begun to penetrate the roof. Despite a tremendous team effort, the fire unfortunately destroyed more than 50% of the structure. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the owners and employees of this great establishment during this difficult time. Many people have expressed support for the owners and staff and noted how important the restaurant is to the community. Flamur Feja, who has owned the restaurant since 1999, is community-minded and has support area fundraisers for those in need in the past. Good Table Family Restaurant social media praised the response of the firefighters. We want to send a huge thank you to all the firefighters and emergency crews who were on the scene tonight. I called 911 and they were so fast. Thank you, reads the post. Thank you to all of our customers who were inside enjoying their meal at the time and helped in any way they could to safely get everyone out without chaos. Thank you to everyone who reached out and stopped by to offer any help they could. More importantly, thank you to all of our staff. I'm so sorry. We will rebuild this, I promise you. To a new beginning, we love you all. I'm praying in this process moves fast since we have so many people that depend on us. We as a family are shocked right now, but I promise to keep you updated. Also, I promise I will build bigger and better. Love you all. Community strong. Several fire departments and agencies responded, including the Indiana Fire Departments of Goodland Fire, Brook Fire, and the Illinois Departments of Sheldon, Concord, Milford, Donovan, and Stockland Fire, Newton County Ambulance, Newton County Dispatch, and the Newton County Sheriff's Office and Kentland Police Department. 2026 planting season safety tips presented by local insurance provider. Farm equipment collisions are most common claim for country financial farm clients during planting season. Bob Bird, County Farm Certified Representative, encourages farmers to focus on safety and preparedness. As planting season begins and farmers head back into the fields, Country Financial is encouraging the agricultural community to prioritize safety and check on farm insurance coverages. Taking proactive steps now can help reduce accidents, prevent breakdowns, and protect farm operations during one of the busiest times of the year. Country received more than 180 farm equipment collision claims between the months of March and June in 2025. These claims include collisions on the road with other vehicles, as well as collisions with buildings or other equipment on the farm. The planting window is short, and farmers can't afford to lose time to setbacks from accidents, which unfortunately can happen when rushed or not prepared, said Bird, Country Farm Certified Representative in Watseka. Taking time now before the rush begins keeps farmers safe and operations running smoothly. Bird shares the following tips for safe and successful planting season. Improve visibility on the road. Accidents involving farm equipment often occur at dawn or dusk during peak commuting hours, especially when motorists attempt to pass slow-moving vehicles or do not anticipate turns or stops. Use flashing lights, ensure reflective tape and slow-moving vehicle emblems are clean, and confirm all lights are functioning properly to help maximize visibility and reduce risk. Remember to use turn signals, as drivers often misinterpret a tractor moving to the right side of the road before making a left turn. Drivers should plan ahead during the busy planting season. Remember that farmers will be on the road and allowing for extra time. Slow down, stay focused on the road, and look for lights on farm vehicles. Prepare equipment. Equipment malfunctions are a common cause of farm accidents. Thoroughly inspect and maintain all farm equipment before hitting the fields. Regular maintenance, such as checking worn parts, replacing filters, and lubricating moving components, can reduce unexpected breakdowns and improve overall safety. Take extra caution when handling chemicals. Chemical safety is another critical focus during planting season. Review safe handling procedures for fertilizers, pesticides, and other hazardous materials with all farm workers to help ensure everyone is aligned on proper protocols. Have safety data sheets, SDS, on hand in case of emergency, and ensure the use of personal protective equipment, including gloves, goggles, and masks. Safety on the farm isn't just about equipment. It's about awareness, communication, and looking out for one another, Bird said. Refreshing safety practices each season helps prevent injuries and protects everyone involved. Prevent theft. Theft of tools, chemicals, and other personal property is common during planting season and can occur when equipment is left unlocked in the field and when farmers are in and out of sheds frequently and don't close and lock the doors. Take time to ensure valuable items are secured. Check insurance coverage and review extra coverage options. Farmers should check their farm insurance coverages to be sure they have the right endorsements and coverages. For example, with extra expense coverage, a farmer who has a covered loss on a piece of equipment may be able to receive additional payment to rent equipment and resume operations. Farmers who sell seed corn need to purchase additional coverage. Check farm inventory lists to be sure they are accurate and up to date, especially if you have sold or purchased new equipment. Meeting with an insurance agent to discuss equipment, building, livestock, crops, and employees can help ensure proper protections are in place and that any recent changes to operations are addressed. Take care of your health. Finally, farmers are encouraged to prioritize their health and well-being. Long hours and physical demands can take a toll, making it important to take breaks, eat healthy meals, get enough rest, and understand how medications may affect alertness. Let family members or employees know where you're working and keep a phone or walkie-talkie nearby in case of emergency. Taking time to prepare for a safe planting season helps prevent accidents, reduce stress, and protect against the unexpected. Country Financial has been protecting farms for more than 100 years and has more than 400 farm certified representatives ready to serve farmers, crop, farm, and liability insurance needs. For more information, call Bob Bird at 815-432-5240. Email bob.bird, B-U-R-D, at countryfinancial.com, or visit www.countryfinancial.com/bob.bird, B-U-R-D. Policies are issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois, an equal opportunity provider. In sports news, Norder's pitching carries Watsika Pony past Limestone AMH Pony. Benny Norder struck out 14 batters as he led Watsika Pony last past Limestone AMH Photography Pony 2026 12-0 April 13th at Limestone. Norder surrendered 0 hits and 0 runs over 5 innings while walking 1. Watsika Pony won thanks in part to 10 runs in the 4th inning. Trey Bruins singled, scoring 2 runs. Kanon Curtis drew a walk, scoring 1 run. Bentley Crouch drew a walk, scoring 1 run. Dexter McDivitt doubled, scoring 2 runs. Asher Arellano singled, scoring 1 run. Ryder Gwaltney singled, scoring 1 run. R.J. Peters grounded out, scoring 1 run. And Seth Whittenborn singled, scoring 1 run. An error put Watsika Pony on the board in the top of the second. Watsika Pony added 1 run in the third after Cade Legan grounded out. McDivitt led Watsika Pony with 2 runs batted in from the number 8 spot in the lineup. The infielder went 1-for-3 on the day. Whittenborn led Watsika Pony with 3 hits and 3 at-bats from the leadoff position. Watsika Pony had patience at the plate, piling up 8 walks for the game. Curtis and Gail Gerdes led the team with 2 free passes each. Curtis and Gerds stole multiple bases for Watsika Pony. Watsika Pony ran wild on the base paths, collecting 9 stolen bases for the game. Tom Schroeder is honored with a Distinguished Service Award. Watsika track coaches Rich Dicta and Troy Simpson recently honored Tom Schroeder with an awardee of Illinois Track and Cross Country Coaches Association with the 2026 Distinguished Service Award. Tom Schroeder has been a stalwart volunteer for the Watsika Track and Field Program for over 20 years, readers in the nomination letter wrote. He has anchored the Triple Jump venue as the head field judge for all Watsika track meets, including dual meets, conference meets, sectional meets, and even took the reins when Watsika hosted the Hersher Invitational at the last minute when Hersher's facilities were unusable. After completion of the Triple Jump event, he was often found assisting the timers and pickers before an FAT system was in place at Watsika. Due to Tom's proximity to the first exchange for relays, he would also fill in, allowing coaches to coach their athletes, rather than cover an exchange zone. Tom is invaluable to helping with staging running events when needed, and is the first to ask if there is anything that needs to be covered. In addition to his high school work, he has also helped with Watsika Junior High School meets with staging, timing, and field event coverage. This is crucial considering Watsika Junior High hosts the IESA track sectionals every year. Tom began volunteering long before his son became a standout member of the Warrior Track Program and has not allowed his son's graduation to affect his continued commitment. He is an integral part in making track meets hosted by Watsika Community High School successful and a place that rival competing coaches and athletes want to be at. Tom also takes the time with the athletes and coaches competing at his event to build relationships and assist in helping them become the best they can be. And just hitting on some scores from the News Gazette on local softball and baseball. In softball, on April 14th, Leroy beat Iroquois West 12-8. On April 13th, Oakwood Schlarman 9, Watsika 4. April 11th, Milford Cisna Park 9 over South Newton 0. And Watsika defeated St. Anne 19-1. On April 10th, Oakwood Schlarman defeated Iroquois West 10-5. Also that day, Salt Fork scored 8 over Milford Cisna Park 7. Close game. On April 9th, Piatone 6, Milford Cisna Park 2, Westville 4, Watsika 3. In baseball, on April 13th, Iroquois West 23 over Cisna Park 13. What a wild game. Milford 18 over Schlarman 2. Oakwood 12, Watsika 1. On April 12th, Oakwood scored 8 over Iroquois West 4. Salt Fork 10, Milford 2, and on April 9th, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin scored 10 against Cisna Parks 0, and Westville 17 over Watseka 7. And on a lovely note, in Watseka, Eileen Breimeyer of Watseka will be celebrating her 100th birthday on April 20th. Her family is hosting an open house on Sunday, April 26th at Sugar Creek Barn in Milford from 1:30 to 3:30. The Watseka Presbyterian Church Women's Group is planning a rummage sale April 17th to 18th, noon to 6 on April 17th, and on April 18th from 9 to noon, there's a $3 bag sale on April 18th from 10 to noon at the church at 215 East Cherry Street. And finally, Holden Vries, a first grader from Milford, and Matthew Snyder, a fifth grader of Donovan, won the Watseka Masonic Lodge 446 Bikes for Books program. Congratulations. This is Kim Harden, reading for the Times Republic. Have a great day.